This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
So we're going to go through all of this, and I'd love to see your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube. Search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. That's where we're at if you want to comment on YouTube. There's a lot here. Texts, timeline, the door hardware, the autopsy, the about face, point by point. We're going to be asking a lot of questions, but let's start on Wednesday, January 26th, the day that Ellen actually died. So she's there. It's the blizzard. School shuts down early. Ellen, 27, first grade teacher. She heads home. Text a friend. She's going to relax. Again, no sign of crisis in the calls, texts, anything like that. Just a snowy day. Doesn't really feel like someone that's planning to off themselves, but that's not truly always a sign. A lot of times that is very silent, and sometimes people don't know when that is going to take place. Her fiance, Sam Goldberg, says he leaves for the gym at 4:45. He comes back about half an hour later, finds the swing bar lock engaged from inside. Again, this is his story. Keep this in mind. This is what he tells everyone, and this is what a lot of the decisions are based on. Simply someone stating what only they can claim, but can't really back up with actual evidence other than this is my eyewitness testimony. Instead of calling 911, that's when we get the text. Hello, open the door. You better have an excuse. All of that. Sam later tells police he talked to a guard at the apartment, then forced the door. Again, all part of the official story. Here's the thing that's come out in the last year or two. The guard that was there said he wasn't there. Said that never happened. I wouldn't go up there with him. I wasn't helping him get the door open. That part of the story, he said, is not true. Made up, if you will. Now, Sam's story has stayed. Sam hasn't really talked at all about much of this to any sort of extent. He kind of just disappeared into the ether after this, never to be heard from again, living a life and, you know, apparently not a lot of concern for finding justice for the woman that he was about to get married to. I guess to each their own. Some people walk away really easily. But in this case, the guy that was supposedly there witnessing this, able to back up his story, says, no, that story never happened. Why didn't anyone realize that the guy that's part of the story wasn't part of the story? Because there wasn't an investigation. So what Sam told people is what went down on the record. And that's where it stopped. Nobody went to go and say, were you there? He says this, never looked at all. That door that was forced open, we'll take a look at that photo in a little bit. And you tell me if that's the evidence of a door jam being broken open. Doesn't really quite look like it. So I want to begin with a 911 call. Everybody reacts to trauma differently. Have you guys ever had to make a 911 call? Have you ever been in a situation where it's like, holy shit, stuff's hitting the fan. You have to react in some way, shape, or form. How have you guys been in those situations if you've ever had them?
Todd, go ahead, because I was an EMT, so I've seen both sides where you're the caller and you're the respondent.
I literally, it was just a time when I was on driving and I saw an accident in front of me with a vehicle that went through a red light, got slammed really hard by a semi, and it was not a good outcome for that individual. And I got on the phone, and I know that I was kind of crazy and huffing and puffing and not able to really, you know, speak well and all that, because I just seen some crazy stuff. But I've done it, and yeah.
And that's someone you didn't know.
Right. That's somebody I did not know.
Yep. Stacey?
Yeah. As an EMT, we had seen lots and lots of families who have called 911, and you get there about 5 minutes later and they are frantic. They are beside themselves. They can't focus. They can't think. Their train of thought is it's just scattered, absolutely scattered. They don't have a train of thought that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, here's the 911 call. This is Sam calling when he gets into the apartment. And I don't know how long he was in there for, because some of the things he says don't seem to really line up later, but we'll get to that. Just take a listen. Take a listen. This is the fiance discovering his fiance with 20 stab wounds, but doesn't really realize she stabbed at first. Take a listen.
I just walked into my apartment. My fiance is on the floor with blood everywhere.
What is the address?
4601 Flat Rock Road. Please come help. 4601
Lane.
Flat Rock Road.
Is it the house or apartment?
Oh no. It's an apartment. Please hurry, please.
Where is she bleeding from?
I don't know. I can't tell.
No. So you have to calm yourself down in order to get you some help.
I'm sorry. I don't know. I'm looking at her right now. I can't see anything. There's nothing broken. She's bleeding. Ellie.
You don't know where she's bleeding from. Can't
Ellie,
see where blood's coming from.
I think her head. I think she hit her head. But it's all everywhere. It's everywhere.
She might have fallen. Do you know what happened?
She may have slipped. There's blood on the table. Her face is a little purple.
Okay, hold on for rescue for her. Stay on the phone.
Pause for a second.
I went downstairs to go work out. I came back up. The door was latched. My fiance's inside. She wasn't answering. So after about a half hour, I decided to break it down. I see her now just on the floor.
Let's pause for a second here.
Okay, is she breathing? Look at her chest. I need you to calm down. I need you to look at her chest. Listen to me. Someone's on the way. Look at her chest. Is she flat on her back?
She's on her back.
Look at her chest and tell me if it's going up and down, up and down.
I don't see her moving.
Okay, do you know how to do CPR?
I don't.
Okay, I can tell you.
There we go.
Could you hear me, Todd?
He can't hear you.
I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Okay. Okay. I wanted to pause for a little bit here in this. Reaction so far.
It feels like there's been a story that's been rehearsed.
Oh, yes. Yep. Completely. Because I'm picturing what he's saying in my mind, and I'm feeling myself elevating with stress.
Right.
If I saw somebody that I loved laying on the floor, I would be screaming. I would be bawling. I would be hysterical. I wouldn't be telling you that I went down to the gym and that the door was locked.
And what did I say about the train of thought? I've walked into homes where somebody has collapsed and they're on the floor and somebody is doing CPR. And as the paramedics arrive, nothing makes sense. You can't put together a thought. All they're doing is, I came in there on the floor. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. What's going on? Can you save them? Help. I mean, just this frantic, not, well, here's what I did today before I came in and saw them lying on the floor and I might lose my spouse or fiance for the rest of my life. No, it's, oh my God, do something.
Mm-hmm. You're not setting up your alibi.
Differently. Right. Yeah. You never heard about the alibi. I mean, it was just, I came in and they were on the floor. They give you like 30 seconds, a 30-second scenario of what happened. Mm-hmm. So when you're trying to say to them, well, you know, what led up to this? Do you know what they were doing? No, they can't think. They can't give you those details because their brain isn't working that way right now.
Everybody reacts to trauma differently.
Correct.
I'm playing the devil's advocate here. But obviously, and again, Sam never charged with anything, and we're not saying he had anything to do with this. Being very clear about that.
Just feels different.
It just feels a little different. Feels a little strange, a little odd that this is the reaction. I also, when people are in panic mode, when your brain is in that state, and you're like he was at the beginning, which felt a little, I don't know, rehearsed. It did. To me, that's my conjecture on it. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was, this is how he reacts to things. To then flip to, oh, I don't know. Maybe she hit her head. It was a very quick up and down. But again, everyone reacts to trauma differently. Let's and keep don't listening.
Don't forget, she's got a knife firmly planted in her chest at this moment, too.
And there's that. Let's continue on.
What to do, okay, until they get there. I want you to keep her for
the God.
Hello?
Yeah, hi, okay.
Are you willing to do CPR with me over the phone so they can
I have to, right?
Okay, so get her flat on her back, bare her chest, okay? You want to rip her shirt off, okay?
I have
kneel
to, right?
By her side.
Oh, my God. Allie, please.
Listen, you can't freak out, sir, because you
okay, I'm trying not to, Her shirt won't come off, it's a zipper.
Rip
oh, my
off.
God, she stabbed herself.
Where?
She fell with a knife. Oh, no, her knife's sticking out.
Her what?
There's a knife sticking out of her heart.
She fell on a knife?
I guess so. I don't know where she fell on it. I don't know.
Okay, well, don't touch it.
Okay, so I just let her down here now? I mean, what do I do?
No, I mean, you can't. If the knife is at her chest, it's going to be kind of hard for you to do CPR at this time.
Oh, no. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Police, which operator?
277.
That's pause.
Is someone coming here?
Yes, they are. You said 46.
I don't know what to do with this information. This is where I check out.
I have to, don't I? I'm going to tell you how to do CPR. Well, I guess I have to, don't I? That's more than a questionable response when the 911 operator says, let me help you do CPR and your dying fiance over here. I have to, don't I? I guess I have to, don't I?
You don't have any clean clothes for tomorrow. You have to do laundry. I guess I have to, don't I? That's the kind of response.
Yes.
That gets.
McDonald's is closed. Looks like you got to go through the Burger King drive-thru.
I guess I have to, don't I?
Everything's going to taste flame grilled, including the soda. She fell on a knife.
Again, as we always say, conjecture, but yeah. Even the 911 operator is like, what the hell is, what am I dealing with here? Like, because like you said, Stacey, she's probably dealt with a lot of manic people who mm-hmm. have just realized something horrible happened to a loved one. And this does not, I'm guessing, does not seem like that to her.
No, I've never seen a response like this. When you walk into a situation where you're watching somebody's world fall apart, because that's what's happening when somebody has collapsed or is dead, but they're on with 911 and the paramedics are there and they're praying that you can do something for them. This is not the reaction you're getting.
Who falls on a knife?
Well, and again, I always...
lodges directly into your heart.
Heart, yeah.
You guys, this is where I always come back to, and I only say this because I kind of grew up with this thought process. Like, you know, if a woman was battered and she had a black eye and she was wearing the sunglasses, didn't want anybody to know, and, oh, I fell down the stairs. You know, and it's like, well, nobody believes that shit. Okay, but if you don't want to talk about it, we won't talk about it. Okay, fine. Well, that's exactly what this was. Like, she fell down the stairs. She fell into the knife.
Even more unbelievable. I mean, and she fell on a knife. And the descriptive part of this, directly into her heart.
Mm-hmm.
How would he know that?
How
would he know that?
You don't know like if it missed it or if it's like at an angle or there's a lot of ways where it you would say there's a knife in her chest, not
right.
Directly in her heart.
Also, and again, just guessing here, but if I came upon somebody I loved who was lying on the ground, possibly bleeding, I may take a little bit closer look at what the hell happened so that when I called, I knew that there was a knife. Sticking
right?
out of the chest. I mean, I realize you're frantic and stuff, but you do take a moment to look at the situation and try and figure out what happened because that's what your brain wants to do.
That's what a sane human being would do. And that's the thing with this. If you walk into this situation, you wouldn't just immediately call 911. You wouldn't just see her on the ground over there and go, let me call 911. You'd rush over.
You could help.
What's going on here? Is there something I can do immediately rather than waiting for 911 to show up 20 minutes later or whenever that happens? And by the way, there's a blizzard going on, so it might take a little time. you would be right there. You'd be looking at the situation. Well, she's got, can you get her shirt off? Oh, she's got a zipper on. You notice the zipper before the knife protruding from her chest?
Thank you for that, because I picked up on that as well. He's more in tune to what her attire looks like than the Halloween knife sticking out of her,
well,
her chest.
It feels more like he's like, that wasn't part of the plan. I don't think he planned, I shouldn't say that, because I don't think he planned anything. I don't think he has anything to do with this. I don't know any. I mean, I would say if you're in that situation, it looks very, very suspicious. If you did plan this, and I'm not saying he did, but if you were to have planned this and you call 911 and you kind of think, okay, here's how I'm going to spin this and it's going to go smooth and no one's going to ask questions. Somehow no one did. And you're not expecting the 911 operator to say, we're going to try and do CPR here, which you would probably should expect they're going to say that to you. But he seemed a little thrown off by that.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.